Mr. Chairman, may I introduce Stephen Mayne, shareholder.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chairman. I know you've covered the question of the outrageous way that the government ripped up our licence and refused to pay our legislative compensation, and I think everyone in this room would agree that what they did was outrageous. It raises issues of sovereign risk. It was disgraceful that they could just break their basically word like that. However, I think there is an argument that the reason they did that to us, or one of the reasons they did that to us, was the way that we conducted ourselves in part over the preceding couple of years, most notably the whole issue of the David White lobbying, the secret meetings with Steve Brax, the former CEO Duncan Fisher's comment about milking problem gamblers until he's forced to stop, the whole trustee suing the company for $100 million, some of whom were former directors at the time. The government looked at all this and just said, why should we do TATS any favours? Look at the way they've conducted themselves. They're greedy, they're grubby, it's just not a good look. Hence, we can do something outrageous to them, absolutely outrageous, and there will be limited public sympathy for that, given the way they've conducted themselves. So I guess, in hindsight, and I know, Harry, you weren't particularly involved, and Dick obviously was the new CEO who was trying to clean up some of these old practices, but do you recognise, in hindsight, that we did imperil the franchise to a degree through the way this board and this company conducted itself in the political arena around some of those issues that I laid out before?
Stephen, thank you for that question. It's certainly a question that a lot of people have on mind. I think we need to get a number of dates appropriate. Firstly, this company wasn't a company until the middle of 2005. Many of the events that you referred to occurred either prior to that or arose from prior to that period. And many of the things that are said are actually strenuously denied by people. I know that Duncan Fisher strenuously denied ever having said the things that was alleged to have said. However, the other side of the coin is I don't know what went on in the government's mind. I don't know why they would have elected to clobber Tabcorp at the same moment as TATS if it was just a reaction to perceived behaviour of the old TATS. And I will say again, not the new TATS. I don't know why they did those things, but what they have done is adopted a model which we believe will replicate what goes on in Queensland or possibly New South Wales. We're not sure which of those because the government hasn't yet decided. And it was certainly in their jurisdiction and ability to do that, but I don't know why they would have decided to belt Tabcorp at the same time if it was purely TATS issues. They could have found another way of doing it if it was just concerns with TATS previous behaviour going back to the early 90s in some cases. So it's speculative. I can't respond any other way than to say logic says why belt them both if one's a good guy and one's a bad guy, but I can't speculate and I can't get into the government's head. And as you know, we have severe limitations in talking to them for legal reasons to do with the ongoing businesses that we're doing. So hopefully I've addressed the topics without trying to in any way smooth it over, but I've raised some questions in response to your question or comments.
Harry.
Sorry, one moment. We've got some more. Dick, you want to add?
I also, if there's a suggestion that maybe there's a legacy of ill will between the company and the government, that was probably wrong. We did win back a lottery licence in Victoria, and we were recently awarded the Monday-Wednesday game, which is an extension of that. So I don't think shareholders should draw the conclusion that the government is just lining up and waiting to belt us every time they see us around the place.
Any more questions on this part of the meeting?
Mr. Chairman, Stephen Mayne.
Just one more, Chairman. Look, I think that was a good response. I think you addressed some of the issues. I agree with you that it was a lot of it was the old private TATs. I think the Tabcorp situation, well, the government just looked at that and said, well, they've made 500-600% on their money. We don't need to support them. And Brumby obviously had a big legacy issue around the Tabcorp float when he had a big controversy around that. Just a supplementary on that, and then a separate question. Supplementary is how do you see the next state election, which is November 2010, how does that play into this licence to liberation? I mean, clearly you've got one side of politics doing something completely outrageous, ripping up agreements reached by the other side of politics, yet the licence runs beyond the term of the government. And you've said, quite correctly, we have to sit there until 2012 operating this licence before we know what will happen. So if there is a change of government in November 2010, which a lot of people are predicting will happen, given trends around the country, I think it is a reasonably important point to make. That could to ask you as to where that fits into the dynamics of this licence renewal and the potential of getting any compensation.
Okay. I'd love to be able to comment on November 2010 elections, as I'm sure John Brumby and Ted Bailey would be interested as well, but they've got their own thoughts. I think, again, sticking to facts rather than speculation about the future, the facts are that there is an election due in November 2022. The fact is, I don't believe I've heard the Liberal Party come rushing out in defence of the gambling companies. I don't think they see a lot of votes in defending gambling companies. And also the fact is that under the government's existing timetable, they are due to make decisions about the tendering process and how future licences will be awarded well ahead of the cut-off date, so that people who win licences can get into place, organise themselves, etc. So by November 2010, which is really only 18 months before the cut-over date, I suspect there has to be a lot of stuff in play. And if the current state opposition is going to have a different view, they will certainly express it before then. But up to this time, Michael O'Brien, who's the opposition spokesperson on gambling matters, certainly hasn't struck me as particularly sympathetic to anyone's cause to do with gambling.